Podcast. Quit the small talk.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis. I come to you from a virtual room filled with some heroes, Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal. Oh, boys. I got some developing news.
Ooh.
Developing news. Right out the gate.
I'm waiting for some sound effects. Here we go.
Love this song.
You know, it's been a while since the Around the NFL podcast has been recognized in the market. The recognition has arrived in a big spot. Run that again, Ricky. We want that. We want that underneath. We want a long bed of the developing news from NBC with Tom Brokaw. The Synopsis Sports Media Awards 2021. We are nominated, bitches. Best podcast series. How about that? How about that?
Woo. Well, it's deserved. It's overdue. And if anything, we go in with a bit of a chip on our shoulder because this should have been like our, you know, we should be collecting rings. And it's taken about almost a decade for this to materialize. But I can appreciate it. And Huddle and Flow got nominated as well. Steve Weiss, Jim Trotter for the best new podcast category, I believe. Let's take it.
That's a category we are familiar with. We were best new podcast in the sports division for Apple Podcasts way back in 2013. But now, Greg, now it's best podcast series. And here's who we're up against. Digging Up the Past with Christopher Russo. The Mad Dog himself, SiriusXM. Golf's Subpar. Yeah, Subpar is right. Golf.com. Heavy Media Inside. I only throw shade at the Random Golf Podcast. Heavy Metals Inside the Cowardly Gymnastics Empire. It's ESPN. And WWE The New Day, Feel the Power. That's not even a real sport. Should not be in our category. Let's fly.
Wait, what?
I'm really looking forward to the award ceremony. That'll be fun. are we going out for the Synopsis? The big Synopsis Award?
The Synops?
Yeah. Let's do it. It's been too long. I like to think of us as kind of the 2.5 men of the podcast, you know, realm. It's like not really critically popular, but hugely successful, like major ratings. Like we don't really get respect from our colleagues,
right?
But we just deliver huge numbers at like 8 p.m. on CBS. You know, that's us.
Kind of
so
like
this is nice. It's a nice change of pace.
Show Jackass or something. Like we are appealing heavily to a certain subset of people.
I couldn't think of that other one where they're scientists. That's what I was really going for.
No, Big Bang Theory. Yeah. I don't know where the Jackass, that's different, Mark. But I know what you're saying, Greg. It's like kind of like the TV shows I never, ever, ever want to watch in my entire life. So if that's who we are in the podcast game, it's kind of a rough sitch in a big spot for a show. But, you know, some people say, oh, it's just an honor to be nominated. Screw that.
No.
If we don't win, I'm burning this mother down. Okay? Okay? All this equipment here that the NFL has provided, it's all going up in flames.
No, you have to go in with an axe of fire, and we have there's a certain element of fury to us at this point. Again, we should be winning our sixth or seventh on multiple platforms, this venue, but others as well. So we are taking no prisoners this time.
Get a stern email from Rog. He's like, hey, bro, I heard you burned all the equipment. You owe us $29,000 and you're fired. And I'm like, did you see we got snubbed by the Synops?
He'd understand.
He'd be like, oh, I see. He would dap me and hug me. So today's show, good one. It happens every year. Now that we're is this the third wave of free agency yet, Greg? When do you graduate from second wave to third wave of free agency?
I think this is it. When there's essentially only one or two minor moves a day, it's died off. We're into the third wave.
Okay, so now that we're in the third wave of free agency and we're, you know, the calendar just turned over to April, that's time for the graybeards. Yes, the collection of, in some people's minds, over-the-hill gang. Players who were once highly sought after and useful players who have yet to find a home, and they do find a home with my team, the Greybeards. And we will unveil, well, I wouldn't say we'll unveil the roster, because what I'm really, the story, article doesn't go up till Monday. It was going to be Friday, now it's Monday, I just learned. So it's kind of a workshop sesh here, and we have a special guest that I'll get to a little bit later that's going to help me put together the Greybeards, because it's very open, it's very important, Mark, in this process. To not play hero ball when you're putting together the roster. You should listen to other voices and a lot of things in life. It's smart to hear what other people have to say, and the Greybeards are no exception.
Well, it's a collaboration, and I'm
certain... Well, I want to go that far. I want to go that far. It's my show. I'm a star, okay? But I want to use your brain, that big old brain in the Sessler skull.
But if we are spending our time contributing and building your article, I'm certain that the byline would... at least include like a big investigative report. You know, there's multiple reporters.
Oh, you want byline credit?
Well, at least at the bottom, we'll say something like Greg Rosenthal contributed to this article, Mark Sessler and our special guest. If not, then I would have some questions about the ethical nature of your work, your project.
All right. How about I make a deal? At the end of the segment on today's show, if I feel that you have contributed in a truly meaningful way, you're getting that tagline.
No,
same goes for you, Greg.
That's good. And you can announce those results at the end.
Well, I already know how this will go.
All right. So anyway, the Greybeards a little later in the show. Before that, though, and good luck, boys, with the sign-ups. I think we've earned this one. It's been a while. 2013, we got the trophy from Apple. That was a big win. Don't know where that trophy is, by the way.
Only adding to our fury.
2015, we won the Stitcher. It was stolen by our own producer. So that one's gone. If we win a sign-up, it is going in the new NFL Network studio behind a piece of glass, baby. And a lock. We're going to lock that up. Let's hit the news.
If I go home and say I'm going to do it, it'll be like, don't do it. If I post, it'll be don't do it. If I talk to my friends, it'll be don't do it. If I talk to my business partner, it'll be like, don't do it. But... I got to do what I want to do for myself now, you know? You're the only one who knows.
No, we're just going to show them.
And you're the best at this, so that's why I'm here. I love it, holy...
Oh, my goodness, he did it. Michael Strahan filled in the gap. And I mean, so many thoughts on this, Mark. I'm curious, what you just heard there was a video Strahan put up on his social media platforms. It was probably on Access Hollywood or something as well. I don't know the source on it. But he was in a cosmetic dentistry chair, and that iconic gap between his two front teeth has been sealed off, and now he has gleaming pearly whites. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, you know, different bodies, different needs. He has the right to do what he wants to do with his look, his vibe. And he was a handsome man. He's a very handsome man now. He's bordering into the worlds of lower iconic television presenter / host guy. So, you know, there's probably some...
Put that on your resume. Lower
well, I don't know,
iconic
well,
television
I was going to say icon,
guy.
But that feels Woof. That feels heavy. But I, you know what? Like, I mean, we go
like
to the
who's meeting
dentist.
At the lower icon meetings? Like, who else is a lower icon? It's like, hey, Rachel you. Ray's here. No, she's just an icon. She's an icon, I say.
His choice, his body.
Sorry, Mark.
You kind of nailed that one. I think Rachel Ray is right in that group. Go ahead.
I have no further thoughts. It's his freedom to do as he wishes with his physical being.
I know you had some theories, Dan.
No, I had a couple. I mean, first of all, everyone wanted to kill him for it. He obviously, it was something that he felt, you know, would make him feel better about himself. Let's start there. And so to me, that's fine. Because I don't think, that is something probably he had issues with as a child. And maybe, who knows, maybe he's been teased in his life. And then it became something he was famous for. And maybe he still wasn't comfortable with it. My other thought on the matter is, I wonder if, and now I'm going to take it more to the New York sports realm. He's not the only famous New York athlete to do this spring. Aaron Judge, the star right fielder for the Yankees, had a gap between his teeth too. And I remember going to a Yankee game 2 summers ago before the pandemic, and I was with my cousin Matt, and I pointed at a big photo of Aaron Judge at a train station. I said, you know, that gap between his teeth, that might be the only thing separating him from being the most marketable star in New York, which you're calling me shallow, but I'm talking about marketing, and because he's already a good looking guy. And my cousin Matt said, well, that, you know, because my cousin has a little bit of a gap too. And my cousin was like, well, that was the thing that I really, you know, I always thought that was cool that he had it too. And he was like me. So Judge gets it filled in. And I wonder if Strahan sees Judge do it. And he's like, well, if Judge did it, why can't I do it? And maybe you say he gives away a little of his identity, perhaps, but I guess it made the man happy.
And I'm worried about your cousin. I mean, he just lost like the two pillars of the gap tooth.
He's a big Giants fan too.
In one week, it's not a good week. Tough for the gap tooth community. My immediate thought was, did he finally get an offer he couldn't refuse? Because this is all just a commercial. It wasn't made from Access Hollywood. It was a commercial made for that dentist. And it was kind of like a somewhat cheaply made, but it was like a social media commercial ultimately. And just imagine the offers that Mike Strahan has gotten over the years from cosmetic dentists in the New York area over the last 20 years. He said no to all of them. How much, you know, money did Michael Strahan get paid to fix his teeth? What an American dream. I would like some free dental care, much less getting paid for it. I mean, that could not have been a low price. I imagine he got paid an extreme amount of money to do that. And, you know, he maybe feels a little better about himself, too. Obviously, that's a big factor.
I think you're onto something there, Greg. I mean,
it was an ad. It was a paid advertisement. I would guess he got millions of dollars for that from that cosmetic dentist dude.
It reminds me of when we went to a media summit, an NFL Network media summit a couple years back, and one very famous NFL figure who was notoriously bald for a long time suddenly had a full head of very youthful hair. And I'm sure that
I mean, it was on TV. We can say it was Dion. He came on TV and it was a big plot line that year for him. Yeah.
And I was literally sitting next to Dion at that summit, which in its own right was interesting.
He was like, oh, hey, Mark, what's up, bro?
No, he had no idea. He was like, why is this like tech advisor sitting next to me during this thing? But I could not figure out why he looked so strikingly different to me for the first half of the day. And then I realized that he has somehow suddenly grown an entire head of hair. So the things you can do. Now, there are some things that people do cosmetically, and you know, Dan and I discuss this, that we do not agree with, but I agree with some of these other things.
When Dion got his hair done, it wasn't just a little patch up, you know, as Wes was known to say. It wasn't just filling in the power alleys, you know, or he wasn't taking care of a crop circle in the back. He showed up and he was 17 years old again from the forehead up. And I remember being legitimately, you know, blown away by the whole thing. But
it's kind of a dream, though. Like, imagine you have to get to there's certain levels. I would say Strahan is just icon at this point. You know, there are certain, and Dion would be too. Once you get to a certain status, what a dream that you can get paid incredible amounts of money for your own self-improvement, things that you would normally just have to pay a lot for to improve.
That's what they say. When you get rich and famous, that's when you start getting everything for free. You know, when you don't really necessarily need things at the same level. Well, that's something to aspire to, boys. All right, let's do some news. Whenever our guest shows up, by the way, throw him in the room, Ricky.
Yeah. Let's, I mean, I got a little chip from playing hockey when I was 10. So hit me up, dentist.
The bad boy of Western Massachusetts. The enforcer on the ice, Greg Rosenthal. You mess with my winger, send Greg.
It's because I was bad at skating, you know.
Was that in a rink or like on an actual, if you're a real tough guy, you do it on a
No, it was on a pond. I barely played on a rink. I did not last. By then, I did a little bit of a rink and was like, check, please. But I did some pond hockey.
The Seahawks have signed Tyler Lockett to a four-year, $69.2 million contract extension. 37 of that million is guaranteed. So there you have it. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, locked in. Lockett will be 29 this season in September. He went over 100 catches for the first time this year, but he wasn't the same playmaker in terms of yards per catch. That kind of went over to the DK Metcalf side of things. Greg, I guess you can make the case this is a steep price to pay. for Tyler Lockett, especially as we've talked about. This is a team that has a lot of financial decisions to make. But when you have Lockett and DK together, if you're looking for a rock solid 1-2 punch at wide receiver, there are a few that can touch that that pair, I believe.
Yeah, over 180 catches and 18 touchdowns, too, for a little guy over the last 2 years combined. I've always thought he's way better than his numbers. He's one of the most fun players to watch. So it's one of those times that, yeah, sure, they paid a premium. I mean, he got as much guaranteed almost as Kenny Golladay. He got really top money. But I always thought his numbers were artificially held down in Seattle. And his just quality of play, how unique a player he is, was really valuable. And he could have had, if he was on the Chiefs or some team like that, his numbers would be even better. And he also just seems like an affable guy. So it's, you know, you're always happy to see those guys get paid.
I guess like the question I'd have is just what kind of offense Seattle will be. The let Russ Cook era is over, and it ended during the middle of last year. I mean, there's that nugget that Lockett was the number one fantasy football receiver through week eight, and finished as the 24th because the offense Whoa. Completely changed its identity. So there are like overt, mysterious questions about what they'll be come September. I think they're going to go back to being more run heavy, more balanced.
Well, it depends though. It depends if they see Russell Wilson as a guy that they have to keep happy now and play ball with a little bit and change the offense in a way that makes Pete Carroll a little uncomfortable, but also keeps the star quarterback happy. That's Seattle. It's kind of a bit of a fascinating science experiment all of a sudden going on in that building.
But they literally fired or parted ways with the coordinator that was all about and open to let Russ cook.
They hired a guy that Russ, you know, did. I always thought that's gotten lost in the shuffle here, that he helped interview Shane Waldron, the Rams coordinator. But the Rams do like to run the ball as kind of the foundation of their offense. So we'll see. But I if a guy like Lockett's not going to get paid, who is going to get paid? It lowers their cap. Like, he is a homegrown guy. He's timed his stay in Seattle poorly, though. He got there right after the Super Bowl appearances. So it's like, he, you know, get Lockett into a Super Bowl.
That's fair. In other news, the NFL owners approved the expansion of the regular season to 17 games on Tuesday. This was long expected. We knew that was coming down, and now it is. The player has agreed to this additional game as part of the collective bargaining agreement that was agreed to last spring. So it goes into effect starting in 2021. The season will begin on Thursday night, September 9th. The Bucs will be prominently involved. The Pro Bowl now is the game that takes place on the first Sunday in February. Pinch yourself. And the Super Bowl here in Los Angeles will take place 1 week later, February 13th, 2022. And I mean, I couldn't think of a better news item to welcome in one of the great minds in football writing. He is a former bricklayer for Roto-World and now one of the bosses that established The Run. You know who it is. The Big Fish, Evan Silva. Buddy, what's up? And also, this is rocking the fantasy world. I mean, a 14-week regular season, Maron.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal in real life and in fantasy football. I think that a nice compromise would have been to add an extra bye week to each team. And you know, that would have expanded the regular season even further and made the billionaire owners even richer. And it would have also, you know, been a compromise that might have benefited the players for the way that it impacts their bodies. And it would have taken a little bit of a load off my plate too, because I love the bye weeks and the way that they affect my schedule week to week. But there's been seemingly no discussion of adding an additional bye week. But, hey, you know, big win for the owners. And, you know, the rich get richer. Go America.
Don't talk to Silva the week that the bye weeks run out. That's Evan Silva's least favorite week of the year. Like, when you have those two less games to cover, to prepare for, to watch during the week, to rank. It's like life is great in fantasy land. And then they come back in week 12 or 13, whatever it is, and it's full slate, and Silva's just like, leave me alone. Don't talk
That's
to
exactly
me.
Right. December is just hell month.
Well, you know, you could have a job outside of fantasy and actually work during January and February and straight through the Super Bowl, which now, that's the biggest change. We've been doing this all a long time. And so just that big of an adjustment that we're going to go through mid-February is will be different. I just want to know how it changes the rest of the offseason. Like, does it? How it changes the preseason? The Hall of Fame game, I did check, is scheduled on a certain day. But are they pushing the preseason, which is now 3 weeks, back a week? Or is there going to be an empty week before the regular season starts? That makes more sense to me personally. And are they going to push back the combine and free agency? Because if they don't, it already felt like it comes up quick. It's basically 2 weeks to the combine. If it's 1 week to the combine, like, that is a different feel to the offseason. They haven't announced that stuff though, so we don't know yet.
I would ask you, Evan, though, like, from a fantasy angle, what was the first thing you thought beyond your own scheduling? Like, strategy-wise, does it change anything at all strategy-wise? You're just adding 1 week of a regular season play.
Right, and we knew that it was coming, but then it became official, and now I honestly don't know. You know, who's going to make the decisions regarding that are going to be, like, the big corporations that run the actual fantasy provider sites like ESPN and Yahoo. And, you know, FFPC, and that's going to be who makes those decisions, not the fantasy analysts. The fantasy analysts are just going to have to roll with the punches.
Very interesting to see how it all plays out, and I'm a little annoyed. This is something that I didn't really think about until this week, but, yeah, it does change records for the NFL going forward, and it's not the same in the NFL as it is in other sports in terms of single-season record, but, you know, Derrick Henry is an example. He was the eighth player to ever run for 2,000. 2,000 yards it's not going to be the same anymore, because we've seen plenty of guys, well, maybe not plenty, but, you know, run for 1,800 yards and 16. You're going to see more like that. But the one that really annoys me, Silva, and I know you're one of you're a curmudgeon and we love you for it, but this is what gets me fired up. That damn Michael Strahan record, the sack record. We talked about him earlier. He got his teeth done. I'm fine with that. I'll never be fine with Brett Favre sliding his feet. And that record now stands forever in a 16-game season. Nobody could break it. You had 20 years, NFL, to wipe that record away, and you couldn't do it, and I'll never forgive you. Just like I've always thought with the Jets. If I go my whole life and I never get to watch a Super Bowl with my dad, I will never forgive the Jets. And the clock's ticking. I will never forgive all the defensive ends
blaming
the
them
league, that we're unable to get the sack record away from Strahan's grasp.
That's an expansive bounty list. All the defensive ends and edge rushers out there, it's thousands of humans.
But what if and when they do break it, no one's gonna put an asterisk on it. I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff this week too. It's like, well, maybe change it to per game records, and it's, you know, watering down these records. That basically ignores everything that happens in the NFL before 1978. Every generation is going to get this. Like, no one's cared when you've broken the record, rushing records, when they were set before 78, or passing records. No one ever is like, well, they did that in 14 games. Sometimes they mention it, but it doesn't
change anything.
No one was giving a big asterisk about Drew Brees all this time because he got to play way more games than everyone.
Developing news.
Uh-oh.
Greg says something doesn't really matter.
I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but tell me about it. What does anyone bring that up when they were saying the Ravens are the greatest rushing team of all time? They would give a little pop to the, who was it, the Bills or the Patriots? I think it was the Patriots back in the 70s. But like, ultimately, no one gave it an asterisk that it was done in 14 games. People will be fine.
I just wanted to recall that year that Shaq Barrett almost broke the sack record, and Sessler predicted that he would finish with like 4 sacks.
Well, you know, there is no end to the things that I've been slightly or vastly incorrect about, but that stands out as one of the shinier mistakes verbally that I've made.
In other news, Washington football team coach Ron Rivera said, I'm sorry to keep on getting sidetracked here. It's really dark, but I have cornhole on ESPN2 DVR'd from last summer, and I had saved it because I wanted to watch it with my aforementioned old man, Keith, who was in town. They just flew out, Keith and Deb, back to New York today. And in the ticker for this cornhole event that I saved on my DVR for a year, it said, it was talking about the name change of the Washington football team, and it said that Ron Rivera and Daniel Snyder said they are very close on a name, and they are ready, getting close to announcing the name. They hope to have it ready for 2021 or 2020. So now they never did that, and now they're not going to have it for 2021 either. They said now they're pushing back to 2022. A little bit weird. So they had a name they were ready to roll with, and then they pulled the reins back. Maybe you guys are onto something here, that they're into WFT. I don't know.
I think they are into WFT.
More like WTF. Ron nailed it. Ron Rivera said Ryan Fitzpatrick will open camp as the number one quarterback, but, quote, there will be a competition. Who will be competing, Mr. Silva, with Ryan Fitzpatrick? They better not pull the rug out on this man. I want to see him start 14 to 17 games this year.
Well, you know, Taylor Heinicke and Kyle Allen followed Scott Turner from Carolina, and Taylor Heinicke played pretty well in that the playoff loss to Tampa Bay, kind of, you know, gave himself, and they signed him to an extension after the season. But I mean, this is going to be the Ryan Fitzpatrick show. This is just, you know, classic coach speak.
He said he really regretted not having the competition he wanted last year, Rivera, that he, it was sort of a fait accompli for Dwayne Haskins winning the job, and that was a mistake, and that he wants to do a real competition.
Can you imagine,
I don't know,
a worse guy behind you? If you're Taylor Heinicke, who I think is an interesting prospect, but you're going to go through the storm with him to some degree, and you've got Ryan Fitzpatrick on the bench. I mean, it just is, it's an unpleasant scenario, because the fans are going to be going nuts for the bearded man.
You think that's unpleasant? When you see that what the graybeard's choices are at quarterback for 2021, you're going to be vomiting wildly. Anyway, Mark, you have been going nuts lately. I mean, in general, I've never seen you in a more professional place than you are right now. Between all the camera stuff that you're fired up about, working with people behind the scenes to give us the best look for our television show. On top of that, every time we get a text from Mark now, it's like, oh, I've been watching NFL Network. There's some interesting things going on here. I've been reading this. You are very plugged in right now, Mark. And the pro days, you've been watching those, so we want to now move out of the way. Everybody step aside. Mark, your thoughts. Break down the Justin Fields and Mac Jones pro days, please.
Well, the table has been set in a way where I'm going to disappoint, but I watched them in a leisurely fashion, and I my text to you guys watching Mac Jones was, am I supposed to be blown away by this guy? Evan, we are not big college football observers, so it's like I couldn't pick him out of a lineup a week ago, but now I understand a little bit more about him. And I mean, my takeaway from the Mac Jones thing is that he whiffed on that one deep ball. And this is a sterile setting. He whiffs on the deep ball, and immediately Twitter's going crazy with Kyle Shanahan, who, you know, flew there the buzz is from Schefter, from Daniel Jeremiah, from Ian, that it would not be a surprise if they go Mac Jones at number three. So he goes to the pro day, which is an unusual move for Shanahan, and they capture his look after he whiffs on that deep ball, and it was just like, ooh.
Hamina.
And they also had one of Belichick as well, looking a little bit mystified. So to me, I like what Daniel Jeremiah said. It was kind of like going to a driving range, and you're watching Mac Jones work on a short game, but then you go see Justin Fields and he is just dropping bombs. And I think we can all tell when you watch someone throw who has that special gift. And I get it, it's a pro day, and I'll never forget the way that Wes viewed pro days in general, just sort of said, throw this thing, you know, it is what it is, and let's not overhype it. But he looked beautiful throwing the ball. I thought he did a wonderful job. Also, Mac Jones has like my body. Like he has a belly. It's like, please. And like Fields looks like a
Justin Fields can run a little bit too.
He had a 4.44 40. That's how he started it. Then he's throwing bombs all over the field. And there was one thing, because I have to be honest, with all the stuff that's happened in our lives since the Super Bowl, that I have been a little burnt out. I've just kind of been looking for that spark to kind of get the engine going. Okay. And Daniel Jeremiah had a comment at the end of Fields' pro day that said, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, just enjoy this. It's like watching an NBA slam dunk competition. It's a pro day, we get it. It's not in a hostile environment. But if you can't watch Justin Fields throwing those passes, and if you can't enjoy it, you gotta check yourself at the door. And it honestly was this thing that kind of a light that broke through and made me just enjoy the experience of watching this incredible athlete throwing these passes. I think he's gonna be an incredibly fascinating prospect. That's my comments.
Mm. What do you think, Sylvie? You've been a draftnik a long time. Is Mark taking your corner?
No, I think that he had an excellent breakdown of the situations across the board. It still strains belief to me at the end of the day that the 49ers would surrender what they did, which amounts to 3 first-round picks and a third-round pick, to go draft Mac Jones ahead of Justin Fields and Trey Lance. Because Justin Fields, I mean, I think Mac Jones might be a solid quarterback. You know, I think maybe he's a little bit better than Andy Dalton, potentially. But Justin Fields and Trey Lance are just on different tiers when it comes to all-around skill set. And we've seen the way that the NFL has been moving, trending over the last 5-10 years. And what Justin Fields and Trey Lance bring to the table, I think, is clearly superior than what Mac Jones has in his toolbox. And now we hear, you know, the 49ers potentially keeping Jimmy Garoppolo, which they can technically afford to do. And then he would be the Alex Smith table setter, you know, the bridge, and then Justin Fields or Trey Lance would be the Patrick Mahomes to come in and get them to the mountaintop. Hmm.
So Silva, if you're doing a mock today, who do you have at 3?
I mean, mock drafts are different because you're trying to actually get, you know, peg picks with players with teams. So I think I would actually be on Mac Jones, but it's still, you know, I think things can change. We're still guessing at this point. The thing is that so many insiders, Schefter, Mortensen, Jeremiah, guys that know way more than us, have made this connection between Mac Jones and the 49ers. Right. And if you're doing a projection right now, I think you actually put Mac Jones on the 49ers at number 3.
That's probably fair. Although I think we should like hold off on the like killing the pick until the pick happens industry. It's like, imagine the wasting of the time of the Mac Jones pick. Like if they don't take Mac Jones, that it almost feels like people are already killing
it's not wasted
for it.
If it fills space, Greg. You know, that's part of this too. You know, Chris Sims is another guy that they say very close relationship with Kyle Shanahan, and he's been pounding the table that that's where Mac Jones is going. You just wonder what that all means. Same thing, you know.
Although then wasn't Kyle Shanahan was asked about his relationship with Chris Sims, and then
I saw that
Kyle Shanahan was like, "I haven't talked to that guy in years."
He didn't say that. He said I know that he talks to everyone. That's why I don't tell him anything anymore. More like that?
Okay. Well, what if I tattooed your initials, Evan, onto my body? Would that incline you to spend more time with me or less?
I mean, that would just be really weird, Tesler.
You know? I found it to be weird for Chris Sims to do that also. So
well, he, you know. Not like he just got a Kyle Shanahan tattoo. It was like a group of 4 of them who all got each other. So
I like
Shanahan,
the other version better. Yeah, I like Shanahan knowing less about Sims the story. Body.
Yeah.
finally in the news, Colt McCoy lands on his feet. He signs a 1-year deal with the Arizona Cardinals, most recently with the Giants. He's bounced around a lot. Really, the best thing about Colt McCoy is his connection to the Sessler family. Let's be honest with this, and it's the only reason we're talking about him right now.
Well, right, and if for those that don't know, Colt McCoy and his father wrote a dual biography about fatherhood and growing up, and it really affected me. And he was the Browns quarterback at the time, and I kind of just liked Colt McCoy's overall persona. I get that he's not, you know, devastating the world as a player, but when it came time to name our second son, I really liked the idea of Colt Sessler, because Sessler is a last name where you've got to be good with the first name. So he's Colton right now, but it would probably become Colt at some point. Anyways, the day he was born, literally on the day of the first round of the NFL draft back in 2012. So I name him Colt McCoy, or Colt Sessler, and then at that night the Browns select Brandon Weeden, like 4 or 5 hours after. Anyways, what I would say about Colt McCoy from the player side, he's suddenly 35 years old, and I think he's a survivor because he's not a starter, but he's been making that backup money and good money for a long time. It's not wound up being a bad career at all. And he had that game with Cleveland where he absolutely devastated the New England Patriots, and the whole team did. And it looked like Tom Brady was on psilocybin that day. He had a look, a 1,000-yard stare that I've never seen from him ever again. So there are good memories.
We've heard about that game many times on this podcast.
That's true.
But we've talked about it before. Sometimes all it takes is a good year or filling in as an injury replacement for a month, and you seem to just hang around. I think it helps if you have good relationships across the league, as I'm sure Colt McCoy does as well. That's what's happening in the news. Ricky, hit it. It's We're Gonna Save the Day. Graybeards, just give us one last say. We're here today, gone tomorrow. Will you watch or follow? Age don't mean I cannot play. You will see me lead the way. Graybeards never go away. Graybeards never go away. Evan Silva in the house. For the Graybeards 2021. Are you ready? I wanted you to be on for that song. I needed you to be on for that song because I wanted you to get in the headspace.
Did you just freestyle that?
No, that was well written, written well over a year ago. Not well written, and Ricky did all the instrumentation on it. That's not true. But wow. I like to do that song because I feel like it gets us in the space, because these are players, the Graybeards, who have something left to offer in the NFL. In fact, when this season is over, I believe it ends in mid-June, this upcoming season, you will see some of these players have an impact. Now, Evan's helped us before. I reached out to Evan a couple of years back, maybe 3 years ago now. Maybe it was four. Time flies. And I said, Evan, I'm writing this piece for NFL.com. I was hoping I could run it by you. I'll send you the list, my picks, and then you could like give me a blurb for each positional group, whether you think it's any good. What I didn't know at the time, because I had never worked with Evan, was how meticulous and how much work and effort he puts into everything he does. And I ended up putting the guy out in a big spot. I think he ended up writing like half a byline story for someone else's website and didn't get paid for it. Big mistake, and I apologize. So Evan, this year, obviously, no written work for you, no assignment. I just wanted you to give me your thoughts as I workshop the 2021 Graybeards. Is that okay? And I apologize again for what happened a few years back. That was tough.
Don't apologize. I thought you wanted, I mean, when you say blurb, I think like Roto-World blurb, you know?
Right.
And yeah.
That's what I had in mind. But yeah. I don't know. You're such a professional. It blew me away.
All right.
And now the second part of this, Greg, before we dive in. You've held my feet to the fire, Greg, in past years, because what I had done in the past is just built the best roster of remaining free agents. And that's a good way. In some ways, that serves a better purpose as an article, like here's all the best guys left. But to truly be about the Graybeards, to have that grizzled beard, to have the salt and pepper, you have to actually be over the hill in NFL terms. So this year, for the first time ever, everyone is either 30 or above or turns 30 at some point during the 2021 regular season. So that banged me in the biggest of all spots, because some players that are still out there right now who could contribute but are not yet 30 include James Conner, DeMarcus Robinson, Adam Humphries, Willie Snead, Jesse James, Trey Burton. None of these names jump out to you necessarily. I understand that. Nick Mullins.
Like at least like four of those are on teams by now, too. So
DeMarcus Robinson re-signed with the Chiefs.
Humphries, too.
Washington, yeah.
All right, good. Well, they're not 30 anyway. For all intents and purposes, they don't exist in this exercise. But please, anybody that has signed, let me know. Here we go. Let's dig into it. And I'll start at quarterback, and it's tough. The bone has been picked here pretty clean. And you do have some players out there. Like, I don't even know if Teddy Bridgewater is 30 yet. But Teddy is attached to the Panthers still technically. So for the quarterback position, boys, I have to run back the Redskins, squad of yesteryear. I got Alex Smith as my starter, RG3 as the backup. And Geno Smith, Colt McCoy. Well, Colt McCoy now off the board. AJ McCarron, a couple options. So I went with Smith and RG3. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think if you're looking for leadership and playoff experience, you went with the wrong Smith. It's Geno time. Give Geno a franchise. If ever, is he 30 now? It's finally time for Geno to be leading a team at 30. You give me the choice, Alex Smith, Geno Smith. I'm taking Geno.
The most predictable thing right there is that Greg caped for Geno again, which he's been doing for a decade now.
When's the last time Geno didn't make the playoffs? It was like, you know, he had to be stuck on an organization like the Jets to keep him out of the playoffs. Everywhere else he goes, they make it.
If I need a guy to win a coin toss, Geno's there. But how often do you really need that, Mark?
No, that isn't even clearly a skill of his. That's just based on luck. And I find it absurd that Greg is still doing this.
This is a rare case where I actually have a point. I don't think Geno's any worse than these guys. I think
you
might
noted
be a
leadership
team.
As the first bullet point on Geno Smith's resume. So
the guy has a wired jaw for his lack of leadership. I mean, let's keep that in mind. When's the last time Geno Smith threw a pass that mattered?
In that game against the Raiders after Ben McAdoo benched Eli Manning. And then I played Geno Smith in DFS, and that did not go well.
No. Played okay, though.
RG3, RG3, he was
– He hasn't looked good. I really would take Geno and McCarron even maybe over
RG3. RG3 is finished.
I felt bad when RG3 tried to open it up when he got some playing time last year, and the legs were just like, nah, we're not going to do this anymore. Let me pull RG3 out. Should I throw Greg a bone? I almost don't want to because he's a little annoying about the Geno thing. But it also would mean a lot to him.
I don't know. You've got a combustible group of people here that are at the end of their careers and probably slightly annoyed. You want Geno Smith running that show?
Evan, break the deadlock. Geno Smith or AJ McCarron is backup.
I'll go with Geno. AJ McCarron.
Good for you, Greg. Yeah. How about that? In a big spot.
Yeah.
Geno Smith is on the team.
If you don't think he's going to be subtly trying to take that job from Alex Smith out from under him. Oh, yeah, he's going to.
Ricky, can you confirm with me that Geno Smith is already 30 or turning 30 during the regular season? Thank you. Running back, okay.
There was a coach, who made the news recently who was all on board trying to trade a couple of day two picks for AJ McCarron not too long ago.
Yes, there was.
That's true.
Some things don't work out for a great reason. Geno turns 30 on October 10th. Where does the time go?
That's my birthday. That's not good.
running back.
That's also Brett Favre's birthday, but we'll leave it there.
Running back. Okay, so tough situation here. This team sucks, I got to say. Sometimes I feel good about the great
last year you had great quarterbacks. All the reason, the quarterbacks didn't go off the market, and all the same guys, Cam and Jameis and Dalton, they all got signed quickly this time.
Yes, and I'll share at the end of this segment what I believe the record to be, but you're going to see it's not going to be great. Anyway, running back, not a lot of choices. I'll name some of them that I believe are still on the open market. Adrian Peterson, Rex Burkhead, Frank Gore, LeSean McCoy, Deion Lewis. I'm going to go with Peterson and Deion Lewis. Peterson's ageless. He's your battering ram. Run up the middle. Maybe he gets another 700-yard season. And then Deion Lewis, I don't know what he's got left in the tank. Didn't do much with the Giants last year, but he could be my little change of pace guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. Anybody else you guys see is a better fit?
I wanted to get some love in here for Cordarrelle Patterson. Who remains unsigned.
Interesting. Because he's my kick returner. A spoiler alert. Right. But you want to put him in the backfield.
Well, he's got to be your kick returner. But yeah, I want to give him a full year as a tailback. I remember watching him play at Tennessee, getting like carries from under center. And I mean, he kind of looked like Adrian Peterson at times. He's like a taller running back. But I mean, you can use him. I mean, he fits perfectly with Alex Smith because Alex Smith loves to throw checkdowns to running backs. J.D. McKissic had games where he caught like 14 passes last year. You used Cordarrelle Patterson as an in-space playmaker, and all of a sudden, like we're cooking with some gas here.
Okay,
Patterson's the great, well, maybe the best special teamer of his era. And every team he's on thinks they're going to suddenly figure out the way to unlock him as an offensive talent. We're 0 for 6, but like that, they always think they're going to, and it's always kind of fun to watch it. I'd put him and Gore in the same backfield. You can't stop it. First of all, there's no chance Deion Lewis is better at playing football right now than Frank Gore. I think if you asked any coaches, if you watched that tape last year, Deion Lewis is done.
Frank Gore was jumping off the screen last year.
Gore, at least he can do his assignments. He can do it. And plus, you need some guys to sell the team. This team's going to stink anyways. He could be searching to get to be the number two rusher in NFL history. So at least that could sell some tickets.
I would. If you bury LeSean McCoy on your roster, you will win a championship.
A lot of inconvenient truths there spoken by Greg, who, by the way, did come up with the nickname for Frank Gore, Inconvenient Truth. He patented that back in the day.
I thought it was Rich Eisen.
No. That's a Greg thing.
It was a Rich Eisen thing, I think. But then I just kept like repeating it over and over. Like he said it one time, and then I got to give him credit.
Greg, if you think that Frank Gore is an effective marketing tool to put meat in the seats, I just feel like you're too close.
I mean, he's the only one that could be breaking some records. If nothing else, your slogan could be like, "We may lose, but we have a lot of character." Alex Smith, Frank Gore, guys who are going to be great at the season ticket meet and greet.
Mark, Adrian Peterson or Frank Gore on the roster?
Adrian Peterson.
Okay.
We could have Frank Gore as like our coach too. I think he'd be a great coach.
Yeah. You could have a practice squad.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
At least assistant head coach / running backs, at very least.
All right. At fullback, I feel really good about this guy. Not a lot of options, unfortunately. And I think I can't put John Kuhn on it anymore. So I think Jamizi Owale at fullback, I feel really good about entering his age 32 season. Dallas Cowboy. Undrafted free agent 2012, played his college ball at North Texas. Good dude. And I think he's my fullback.
The 2021 Greybeards. We're bringing the fullback back.
That's your prerogative, Dan.
All right, moving right along. I got Jamizi. Sorry, bro. Wide receiver. I feel good about the wide receivers this year. In the past, the wide receiver, our big problem is we struggle to gain separation. I mean, that's our thing, you know. But and that's always going to be a challenge in this exercise. But I do have somebody in there that can help me out with that. We'll start with Antonio Brown. That's a nice one to have there, obviously, locked and loaded. And the Bucks, he's the one guy in the entire team the Bucks haven't brought back yet. So we'll see how. But once you're named to the Greybeards roster, you're there. You're set, just so everyone knows. I need a speedster. Marquise Goodwin. Turned 30 years old. I know he's not necessarily a complete receiver, but you send him deep. Just send him down the sideline. Send him on the jet. And that's what his job is, to spread out the field, hopefully. And then it gets a little tricky. Alshon Jeffrey, reclamation project. All right, come on. Join us. And then if we're going to do some four wide receiver sets, Larry Fitzgerald and Adam Humphries are the two guys that I'm kind of going back and fourth on. Larry Fitzgerald, just for leadership alone, and just a living legend, Larry legend of the NFL, is my choice. Your thoughts, boys? Other options: Golden Tate, Danny Amendola.
Yeah, again, Adam Humphries is on a team. He's playing for the Washington Football Team.
Thank you.
How about Josh Gordon?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, I'm done with that.
No.
You know how many times he's been on the Greybeards?
We need a vertical playmaker, man. We need a vertical playmaker so that we can, set up all these great underneath kickouts to Larry Fitz and Golden Tate that are going to get, on average gain 3.5 yards.
All right, so let's be fair here. And by the way, he turns 30 on April 13th, so he does qualify. The version of Josh Gordon we saw in Seattle, is that still a guy that's going to be taking tops off defenses and making big plays
on this
team?
Got to ask the question. I mean, I don't think you're going to be running Cliff Kingsbury's offense with this cast of characters, but Josh Gordon would help out this roster.
Well, Patterson's got, you know, the position flexibility. You could get Gore in at running back, you know, move Patterson over to wide receiver. I do like the Marquise Goodwin signing because you got to think creatively in the marketing department for the Greybeard. It's an Olympic year. He was an Olympian. There's just something you can promote around that, I feel. If nothing else, he can just like
fresh, you know.
Right, he can just run around the track or something, and you guys could do something with that.
All right, Greg, Alshon Jeffrey or Josh Gordon?
I guess I go Gordon. Yeah, I mean, you got to swing for the fences. The Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon, trying to catch passes from Alex Smith. What could go wrong? It would be perfect.
All right, the tight ends. I'm feeling good about. In fact, they're two players that are always hurt. So I might need a few more of these, but Tyler Eifert and Jordan Reed, are those players still untouched? I believe they are. Now, two major injury dudes of the past, but Tyler Eifert, Jordan Reed, if I run some two tight end sets, maybe put them in bubble wrap, we can make some plays.
I mean, Jordan Reed had like three moments last year where you're like, Jordan Reed, all right. And then he got hurt and... It took a while to come back, but he'll give you those couple moments. So I dig that.
Yeah, we're going to need to run like a four or five receiver spread here because we don't want these guys getting out there for too many snaps. I mean, you know.
Maybe it was okay, too, with Jacksonville. That this might be your best position group, I think, relative to league average right now.
The only problem is I think I have about 12 to 15 snaps per game for both of them. So I need to be very smart how I deploy these two guys. All right.
I ask like one like halftime question here? Who is the opponent? Like who are you? Are you playing another team of 30 and 40 year old humans or?
Fair question, absolutely, but don't overthink it. I when I hypothetically then figure out how the team would do, view them as an expansion team that are on the 2021 schedule. But there is no other dimension. There's no hollow earth where they are a part of a different league. Offensive tackle, interesting here. You know, I could run back the Kansas City Chiefs bookends here. Mitchell Schwartz, who's been one of the best right tackles in football, and he's not retired yet and hasn't made any announcement. So he's my right tackle, locked and loaded. Now, Eric Fisher, he could be on the left side, but I don't know about Eric Fisher. I was thinking Russell Okung. What do you think about that, Sola?
Yeah, Russell Okung, he could also really help us with our financial department because he's really smart in that aspect. I also wanted to throw out Ali Villanueva, former Army Ranger.
Yep.
He would bring a lot of patriotism. Just absolute badass. But yeah, no, I mean, at offensive tackle, we've got some serious options here. You know, some injuries to deal with. I mean, Eric Fisher is coming off the late season Achilles tear. Mitchell Schwartz coming off back surgery. But I mean, if we could get these guys, you know, in the rehab room and get them treated, we might even be able to stock some depth if we could stash some of these guys on the reserve pup like the Patriots have been doing for years.
Yeah, I think you want to bring Schwartz in. You know, he did that book with his brother, Jeff Schwartz. Maybe they start like doing a podcast together. Jeff's been getting into the podcast, the media game. You're not just hiring Mitchell. You're bringing in the whole Schwartz family.
Yeah. And Mark, you should know, I'm going to need your help on this one. You're going to have to play the Turk. It's been a nice run for this gentleman on the Greybeards, but Jason Peters, I got to let him go. So you're going to have to let him know that he no longer has a home.
I have to tell him.
Yes, please.
Well, all right, fine. I've not been in, it's not been told to me how much money I make inside this organization to begin with, but that sounds like the least fun task anyone has.
On the interior, I got Austin Reeder, at center, he's in the pivot, Silva. That's a little football talk for you. And then I got Lane Taylor at guard. Now, that guy was a week one starter for the Packers before he hurt his knee. And then DJ Fluker, get that giant involved in the mix. What do you think about that? What do you think about the interior, boys?
Well, Fluker is beautiful. I love Fluker was a guest star on a very funny Tyler Lockett video, you know, when he pretended to be Russell Wilson signing, and Fluker played the role of Ciara. So he brings some joviality to the, to the locker room. I like that.
All right. Kicker, Dan Bailey. I know he's on the wrong side of things now, but you know, he's been an accomplished guy in the league. Another one to kick the tires on. I'm just going to make a phone call, Silva. Seabass, kick the tires. See how big he is now. I just want to see him. I want to see where he's at physically right now.
His last season, he so wanted to retire. You could see it on his face.
Well, he ended the season blowing a hamstring, blowing a tire, chasing down a run back. That's a dark way to end your career. All right, let's swing to the defense. This is the best part of the team, and it feels like it usually is. Edge options, Melvin Ingram, Justin Houston, Olivier Vernon, Aldon Smith. Like them all. Can't believe
can you have there. Can you put them all on your team? Four?
I think so. Yeah, why not? A little depth.
Let's do that. That's a good group.
What about a guy like Ryan Kerrigan? He's still sitting out
he's
there.
He's still option, out there too.
But I went with these four. I mean, you could potentially put Kerrigan in there if you want. Interior D-line, Daquan Jones, Geno Atkins, Kaywon Short, Snacks Harrison. I always throw in one ex-Jet that I just like, and I don't know if he could play the guitar anymore, but Snacks was a great disruptor in the middle in his heyday.
Yeah, we got a lot of depth here. We could run a NASCAR package.
Daquan Jones is a good player. I'm surprised he's still unsigned. He's solid.
Full disclosure, I didn't really break down like how we're going to play things at linebacker, but KJ Wright at off-ball linebacker. Got Josh Bynes in the mix. LJ Fort, and then an old warhorse, Sean Lee, was somebody I had in mind. Your thoughts?
I like this defense.
Is Sean Lee a free agent? I forgot about that.
I think he is. I believe he is.
Alden Smith is also a free agent.
Right.
Yeah, I had him.
You put
him
at defense. Okay, then. Okay.
Yep.
Now you're looking to win games like 9-7.
Cornerback. Now, this has also been wide receiver, same thing. We struggle to get separation. Cornerback. Usually we have a lot of concerns about keeping up with speed receivers. The idea of seeing Tyreek Hill on the other side of the field, that's a nightmare for the team. Or really anybody that can run like a 4.7 40. All right, Richard Sherman, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. Locked and loaded. Welcome to the Greybeards. It's been a long time coming. Casey Hayward, A.J. Boye, Josh Norman, Quentin Dunbar. Now, you say Quentin Dunbar may be a character concern. He's had some issues off the field. That's why Larry Fitzgerald's here.
He's just going to fix him?
No. How you like that? Oh, and I got Brian Poole maybe in the slot.
Yep.
How about Jason McCourty's out there? I mean, I would maybe take him over. Who was after Sherman? There were some...
Casey Hayward, A.J. Boye, Josh Norman.
Yeah, that's too much. I don't like Norman and Sherman on the same team. They sort of, they filled the same sort of role at one point in the 2010s. I want Sherman to be kind of the boss of this room. McCourty, you get the McCourty twins Twitter, you know, handle that they share. I don't know how that works, you know, when they're on different teams, but I'd go for that.
All right, cool. Safety. All right, I'm going to have Kenny Vaccaro in the box. I like his abilities there. Free safety, listen, I'm going to get a center fielder, and I'm going to get the prototype. A year away from the game, maybe he's been humbled, maybe he's making some better decisions in his life. Hopefully he's stayed in shape. Earl Thomas, welcome back. You're a Greybeard.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Got half the Legion of Boom here. This is promising from a marketing angle.
That's true. I didn't even think of that. To get Sherman and Thomas back together.
We can see what Cam Chancellor's up to, if his neck's healed. If you can come back.
Brandon Browner? I think he hits him off the field. There's only so much Larry Fitzgerald can do.
I think Browner's unavailable right now. you do have a lot going on, though, just with personalities. You know, I know this individual does have a job, so I don't know if he qualifies. He is over 40, though. Any thoughts of bringing in Jack Easterby as a character coach to kind of keep this team online, you know?
That's a great thought. You need a moral compass. So.
Gonna have to draw the line there.
Yeah. We mentioned that Cordarrelle will be my kick and punt returner, and the punter, like this. This is great. Fell into my lap a little bit. Thomas Morstead. Great run in New Orleans, and he needs a fresh start. Well, that's what the Greybeards are all about. Now, that's the team. Head coach, defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Offensive coordinator, who was in Miami last year?
Chan Gailey.
Mick Gailey, you know? Been Chan in there.
forced him to retire. It was a little confusing there. I wasn't sure if that was a firing or not, but yeah.
Wayne, and of course, head coach is Wayne Fonts.
How old is Wade Fonts right now? Is it?
And their record, again, higher degree of difficulty here. And I want to hear your guys' thoughts on this too. Losing anybody that's, you know, below 30. I just think the offense, we're going to really struggle to score points. And I think the defense is going to keep us in some games, but also it's an older defense, so you worry about injury issues. It's a 3-13 team this year. I got to be honest. What do you guys think?
I mean, they could definitely beat the Texans.
Okay. Hopefully they're on the schedule.
I'm going to go 1-15. I think.
Wait. It's 17 game season. Excuse me.
Oh, 1-16.
4-13, baby. Let's fly.
I'm going 1-16. I think Alex Smith gets a huge upset in like week 15 against a competitive team, you know, and they celebrate like it's the Super Bowl. And the game winning play is called by and executed by assistant head coach / running back coach / player Frank Gore. Jumps in over the goal line.
Love it.
I am smelling 0-17.
Oh no.
Oh no, we're in that territory, you think? You don't think
this team can steal one dub? Historically relevant.
So. You think we can't get to club dub just once?
I think Fonts and you put Fonts and Wade Phillips together, I think you're gonna win a lot of games. Wade Fonts, by the way, you look back, he made the playoffs like 4 out of his last 5 years.
He's 81 years old.
He looks pretty good in hindsight.
I'm not being flip here. I'm not being flip. I want to make sure he's alive. Please hold.
I just checked this. He is.
Yeah, no, I did too before.
He's alive and he's 81, entering his age 82 season. So,
well, that's like Pete Carroll's around there. He's chewing that gum.
I would have loved to hire Steve Spurrier. I mean, what he did with the Orlando Apollos in the AFL and the AAF. And I know you guys bash the AAF. You especially Zeuser. Hated the AAF. Just
I got after
it.
The AAF a little bit, and I apologize because I know it meant a lot to you.
It meant a lot to me. Yeah.
Silva stood up in a menacing way and considered throwing a shrimp cocktail at Dan.
I think he was going to throw me through the plate glass window of St. Elmo.
Ask me.
That, but you know what? The AAF, that was an incredible 7-week run. That's. Anyway, those are the gray beards. Appreciate your help, Evan and Greg. Really good stuff. And Mark as well.
I was suggesting, Evan, that we should be getting bylines, shared bylines, or at least the thing at the bottom of a big article where it says, you know, X, Y, and Z also contributed.
You want the tagline.
So you decided you were going to announce at the end of the show if any of us get mentioned?
I'm going to say maybe next year. Maybe next year.
You know, these unpaid internships aren't as PC as they used to be.
Yeah. All right. Evan, you've said it all. You'll never be there's a reason why you weren't a hit it and quit it guest. We've had hit it and quit it guests. We had one somewhat recently. You are not one of them. Thank you.
Thank you. No, thank you. It's always a joy to talk some ball with you guys. And you guys crack me up, so I appreciate it.
Appreciate the Establish the Run background that you made.
Yeah, look at the glare. It's horrible. It looks terrible. It's a work in progress.
Got to frame it up a little bit.
It was a good idea. You sent out for that. That was good. Everyone should check out. Establish the Run with the former Roto-World Hosses, Adam Levitan and Evan Silva. All sorts of DFS stuff. NBA, it's
incredible site.
And if you stay on like a hidden track on an old CD from the 90s, Silva will share his thoughts on Roto-World changing its name to NBC Sports Edge.
Don't get me started.
Oh no, why not take the like most successful web property they've ever had and change the name to NBC Sports Edge? Come on.
All right, there goes Evan, and make sure you check out Establish the Run. That's some of the best football writing you will find, and it will win you fantasy leagues as well and DFS and all that other stuff. All right. We'll be back on Monday with another podcast. Friday, the network show is back. Check that out, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And we will sign off. You know, we always get great submissions from the listeners, sometimes in written form, sometimes audio and song. Hugh O'Connor, one of our fine listeners, beautiful song about our podcast and a tribute to Chris Wessling, which I gotta tell you, the end of the song snuck up and bit me. Good job by Hugh. So check that out. Till Monday, heed the call.
It's been 1 week since the flagship show, wrapping up the games and listening to Zolak. 5 days since the Tuesday show, all of our league's news and see who wrote a banger. 3 days since the preview pod, mayhem with the locks and trying to work a snake draft. Yesterday I felt left alone, but in just a few hours my heroes will be with me. When they talk, what do you like best? Is it the Raven's Nest? Or when they just jest about some nonsense they just thought of? Ricky has to keep it real behind the scenes and spin the wheel of teams, figure out what that means. Sometimes you wonder she's not bored of when they bring on Connie Fox, a tiny box of drops on sharks while she just rocks. Although she lost the rhythm of the odds and ends, she's not the only one who brings the fun. Oh no, you know they've got a ton of guys and girls to come and join our podcast friends. Can I help it if I think Mark's funny when he said, trying hard not to get down when the brands are bad? Dan's the kind of guy who laughs at his own bits. Can you really blame him? I guess they are the greatest hits. Greg has a tendency for locking up the favorites. Wes knew his history like nobody else. It's been 1 week of the off-season, 7 long months before we're back to football. 5 days of free agent shows, Greg and Wes's list that always ends with Gino. 3 days and they're back again, filling up the time with truly crazy segments. Yesterday I just wrote this song, but I'll be waiting next week to listen to my heroes. We have to check in with the throne of sleaze, that's why Greg takes his ease, and Dan is never pleased, unless there's trouble with the Patriots. It's hard to talk about the team Dan Hansen likes the most. Sam Donald, seeing ghosts, they've got no call to boast, but maybe Salah makes them favorites. When we talk the Cleveland Browns, Mark's also down, no call to frown, but the dog pound this year because they finally made the playoffs. Don't forget Rick Hollywood, as if you could, she's doing good at ATL and just as well with Emma on the broadcast. Can we help it if Chris Wessling is our hero? He fought the Big C tough, he never showed us fear, no. He's the kind of guy who loses iPads in the bath, gave us football takes that always made us think and laugh. He's got a tendency of kicking as a cornhole, and when he locked it up, you're never in doubt. It's been 2 months since we lost our friend. I never met the guy, but man, you know we miss him. Show won't ever be the same. There'll always be a gap when Dan starts with "What's up, boys?" I say, "Hey, Dan," every time. I'm thinking of the mailman wishing he was with you. Chris Wessling, you'll always be our guy.